Good morning. It's Wednesday, May 24th. I'm Beth Golay, and this is Wichita's Early Edition from KMUW News. Investigators looking into December's Keystone oil spill in north central Kansas found gaps in TC Energy's standards and how it designs bends in the pipeline. TC Energy also knew the specific piece of pipeline that burst last year had been warped for a decade. Coming up, the Kansas News Service tells us more. But first, the news. A record number of Kansas students are graduating from high school with college credits or job training already completed. KMUW's Suzanne Perez reports.
It's been a decade since Kansas lawmakers launched a program to provide free college technical education classes to high school students across the state. Since then, the number of students participating has more than doubled. This year, more than 1,700 students will graduate with credentials to work in healthcare, computer networking, and other fields. Deputy Education Commissioner Ben Proctor says the growth of technical education gives Kansas students a head start.
We have students who have a multitude of things that they would like to do, and we want to make sure that they're equipped with the skills that are going to position them to meet those goals.
This year, Kansas students earned more than 105,000 college credit hours. For KMUW News, I'm Suzanne Perez.
The City of Wichita's 2024 proposed budget will likely have 30 to 40 fewer staff positions than the 2023 budget. Most of the positions that will be cut have been vacant for a long time. Elizabeth Goltry is the city's budget officer. She says city departments currently have a lot of vacancies.
People found other ways to deliver the service, either through efficiency or maybe they're using contractors to deliver the service. So the budget will have fewer positions, but I don't think it'll have an impact on service levels.
The decision comes as the city is seeking savings to prepare for a multi-million dollar deficit in 2025. The proposed budget will include information about which positions will be cut. The budget will be released on July 11th. Nurses at St. Joseph Hospital began negotiating their first union contract this morning. KMUW's Daniel Cottle reports.
Nurses at St. Joe's voted in March to unionize with National Nurses United, joining their counterparts at St. Francis. Together, the bargaining units represent more than 1,000 nurses, but the union says management is making the two groups negotiate contracts separately. St. Francis nurses began their negotiations in February. Nurses at both hospitals say they want a contract that ensures equitable pay, proper staffing levels, and protection from patient violence. Federal law sets no strict timeline that employers must follow during negotiations, only saying they must negotiate in, quote, good faith. For KMUW News, I'm Daniel Cottle.
Governor Laura Kelly is asking members of Congress to support the F-35 Lightning II fighter jet program. Kelly sent a letter to members of the House and Senate Armed Services Committees and Defense Appropriations Subcommittees. She wants them to approve a request by the Biden administration for nearly 100 F-35s. Kansas has nearly 40 suppliers, including some in Wichita, that do work on the F-35 program. Kelly says the next generation fighter jet supports nearly 5,000 jobs in the state with an annual economic impact of more than $500 million. The principal of Olathe South High School resigned this week following student protests over the handling of racist incidents. As Chris Fortune reports, the district is working to name a new principal.
Dozens of students and parents protested outside of the Olathe School District office last week, calling for Principal Dale Longnecker to be fired. The protest came after a black student alleged he was tormented for months by white students because of his race. Superintendent Brent Yeager notified Olathe South families that Longnecker had resigned and called the end of the school year, quote, especially challenging. Yeager said in the statement that the district is working to provide a smooth transition as the school year comes to a close. I'm Chris Fortune.
Officials at the Great Plains Transportation Museum say it may take several months to repair damage from vandals over the weekend. Museum officials estimate the damage is at least $10,000. That included damage to a locomotive, passenger car, and two cabooses. The museum says three suspects were caught. They were seen on a camera that streams video 24 hours a day of trains that use tracks near the museum. The museum is in Old Town, across the street from Union Station. The nonprofit organization works to preserve the region's railroad history. AAA forecasts that more than 42 million Americans will travel 50 miles or more during Memorial Day weekend. More than 340,000 of them will be Kansans traveling by car. This year will see most travelers nationally since 2019. Transportation data and insights provider INRIX recommends weekend drivers head out before 1 p.m. on Thursday or before noon on Friday to avoid congestion. Riley Mansuetti is with AAA. She says drivers should take precautions to ensure they don't get stranded on the road.
Our emergency roadside crews, they're preparing for one of their busiest weekends, and people will be left stranded by dead batteries, tire troubles, lockouts, and even plenty of people will just run out of gas.
Mansuetti says drivers should create an emergency kit with water, snacks, and other essentials should they encounter any issues during their travels. The Wichita State men's basketball team will take an exhibition tour through Greece this summer. The Shockers will play 3 games on the 10-city tour, which begins August 1st. The trip also will allow the team to hold 10 practices before it leaves. WSU has several new players this season, plus a new head coach in Paul Mills. The NCAA allows teams to make one foreign trip every 4 years. WSU's last trip was to Canada in 2016. The team traveled to Brazil in 2011. The Wichita River Festival is looking for volunteers to help with this year's event. Riverfest says it needs help with a number of tasks, including selling buttons, manning barricades at the Sundown Parade, and working the food court. Volunteers who work 4 or more shifts will have a chance to win prizes and merchandise, including VIP tickets to Riverfest concerts. Orientation for volunteers will be held Thursday evening and Saturday afternoon. More information is at wichitafestivals.com. The Wichita River Festival is June 2nd through the 10th in downtown Wichita. Rest Haven Mortuary and Cemetery will hold its annual Memorial Day service on Monday. The keynote speakers are Wichita Congressman Ron Estes and Colonel Stephen Smart, commander of the 184th Wing of the Kansas Air National Guard. The event also will include a flyover by the Jayhawk Wing of the Commemorative Air Force, which restores and flies vintage military aircraft. Rest Haven has hosted a Memorial Day event since 1960 to honor military members who died while serving their country. The event begins at 11. Rest Haven is at West Kellogg and 119th Street. We'll be back after this.
Two men of color vanished after last being seen in the same deputy's patrol car.
I knew something was wrong. Your mother knows.
It's the strangest case, the most unsettling case.
Listen to the Last Ride podcast, part of the NPR network.
This is Wichita's Early Edition. I'm Beth Golay. The Keystone Pipeline's biggest spill ever happened in Kansas last year. Now an investigation reveals that the operator knew about the problems in that section of the pipeline a decade ago. Kansas News Service editor Stephen Caranda and reporter Celia Yopis Jepson fill us in on the chain of events that led to the spill.
Celia, let's start with a quick review of the Keystone Pipeline's special federal permit. That's actually important to understanding what the investigators found.
It is. The Keystone isn't just any pipeline. It's massive. It runs from Alberta down to Houston and then another leg over to Illinois, and it transports tar sands crude oil. Now, when TransCanada, which is TC Energy now, drew up the plans for this pipeline, it envisioned operating it under higher stress than is normally allowed for other pipelines.
And eventually the federal government said, okay.
It did. But with dozens of conditions, basically beefed up safety measures, state-of-the-art features, more rigorous design, materials, oversight, all the way from the fabrication of its parts through the lifespan of the pipeline.
And the company, TransCanada, agreed, and the feds ultimately signed off on those higher stress levels.
And so when the pipeline burst last year, the immediate question was this because of higher stress levels?
The investigation found that was not the reason. Am I right?
It was not. And that's striking. The Keystone was actually running at a relatively low pressure, even well below the threshold for other less rigorously designed pipelines.
How could a pipeline designed to handle much higher pressures completely fail under these lower pressures?
So let's walk through the chain of events. The piece of the Keystone that split open was a bend, an elbow shape, right? And it was pre-welded to two adjoining pipes, one on each end, and then shipped to Kansas and installed in 2010. A whole bunch of things go wrong. First, the welding. It seems the fusion wasn't entirely thorough in some spots.
But were those welds still up to code?
Yes, they were, but because of other factors, the welds were subjected to a lot of stress. So up to code wasn't good enough. During installation, this pipe got warped. And investigators say it's possible that the construction crew, you know, for example, just put too much weight on it when they were burying the pipeline.
So you start with a round pipe and it kind of gets squished into an oval.
Yeah, that's the way to picture it. And then TC Energy discovered that oval shape in 2012, 2 years later. It dug up the pipe, considered whether to fix it, and then decided it wasn't that problematic, so it buried it again.
But the issue here is being squished was stressing what was already an imperfect weld?
It was, and so was the design of the elbow itself, the actual engineering. The investigators say the elbow design puts extra stress on the welds.
So one of the welds cracked early on, and then over the years, it grew and grew.
It did until December last year. The last ligament gave way, and it burst open.
What have investigators said about the risks of other cracks in the pipeline?
As far as the investigators found, more than 100 other spots on the Keystone have similar pre-welded elbows that they say TC Energy should take a look at. And as of 2021, they say that TC Energy knew about at least four other elbows that were squished into that oval shape.
What does the company say they're doing?
TC Energy says it is looking into it. It has not found any problems so far. That work will continue into next year. The other thing we should note is the investigators found gaps in the company's oversight and risk assessment and procedures that made it possible for all this to happen. But TC Energy says its work is, quote, robust, and it's doing thorough inspections, and it's confident it can safely deliver crude oil.
That was reporter Celia Yopis-Jepson and editor Stephen Caranda. The Kansas News Service reports on health, the many factors that influence it, and their connection to public policy. Thanks for joining us for Wichita's Early Edition. We'll be back again tomorrow. For KMUW News, I'm Beth Golay.
Wichita's Early Edition is part of the NPR Podcast Network.
What if national news was actually covered by the whole nation? The NPR network is over 200 independent newsrooms strong, stretching across all 50 states and Washington, D.C. It unites 300 million Americans in one big community built on one even bigger idea. What you hear changes everything.